You're listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I feel like it ended like the way it's supposed to end. We won a great cup together, and then we went our separate ways. It wasn't a bad split. I'm still, you know, great with all the coaching staff, the ownership, the players. So I just think it was time for me to leave, and it was time for them to move on. And right now it looks good for both teams.
That is Nick Lewis. He will wear number 18 for the Montreal Alouettes tomorrow as they challenge the Calgary Stampeders. Second meeting of the year. And some believe, I'm not sure if Nick believes it, kind of hinted at it, might be the final time we see him dress as a, pardon me, number 8. Was that right? Did I add an extra number there?
Yeah.
Nick's wearing number eight. Sorry. Yeah. Nick, you don't need the number. You'll know him right away. But hinting this might be the last time he's an active player at McMahon Stadium.
Yeah.
Quite a legacy there, Pat.
All he ever did for the Stampeders was catch important passes and for the final, what, 5, 6, 7 years of his time here was kind of one of, if not the face of the organization in a lot of ways, publicly, charity things, appearances. Like, he was kind of the guy. Henry Burris, of course, throughout the entire summer and all, Nick Lewis was everywhere. And certainly, once Henry moved on, he kind of became that guy. So, no, there's a legacy on and off the field for Nick, for sure.
Absolutely. And actually, we're very blessed. We got another guest with us in studio today who is with the Montreal Alouettes. This is kind of interesting to me, Pat, because often we chase guests, and every once in a while, they come and they say, hey, we'd like to come on, and this is what we want to come on about. And both of us kind of raised our eyebrows when we saw that this is kind of neat. You were on holidays. You said, hey, let's get them in. Let's do this. And we're very excited that we are joined today by the head athletic therapist for the Montreal Alouettes, now the man in charge of keeping Nick Lewis healthy. Boy, there's a job. Rodney Sassy. And Rodney, first of all, thanks for doing this. You have a kind of a unique, what would you call it?
Outlook?
I'm trying to think what you're pushing. You know, you're not pushing, but you've got a, you're talking about, you're really, you've got a, from a health and sports standpoint, it's kind of unique where you're coming at, because right now all the attention seems to be on head injuries, right? We're dealing with concussions, and they're obviously something that we deal with. But you're championing another cause. Tell us a little bit about why you're coming on today. Tell us a little bit about what you really are motivated to get out there to people.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here and sit down with you guys and talk about this, which I feel is an important topic. And yes, head injuries is in the news. But, you know, just like any good house, you need a good foundation, you know, and that's why I'm here today, is to hopefully send out a take-home message about how important our feet are and how important they are to us every day. And they're the first things that touch the ground every morning. So we'll go through a couple of things, and hopefully everyone could get a take-home message about our feet.
That's what you're really doing. You're kind of I guess that's what I was looking for, spearheading an awareness initiative.
Initiative.
That's the word. Yeah, I couldn't lost it there. I should have looked at my notes. But, you know, again, we all, you know, when we're talking about health and safety issues so much in pro sports, not just football, but all pro sports, obviously the hot topic is the head. But you've been around sports and around football for a long time now.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about how you came about realizing that foot injuries are really, you know, something that needs to be brought to the light.
Well, you know, if you look, I have a private practice back in Montreal, and I've been with the team for 18 years, been in the CFL for 18 years, won a couple of great cups. And, you know, you look at the number of foot injuries around, be it in the private population, the weekend warrior, so to speak, and in the pro sports, you're looking at 1 every 4 people come in with foot-related issues, be it their knee, because their feet are in bad shape, or, you know, anywhere from their ankle and their feet. So, you know, you're talking about 1/4 of the injuries out there are related to your feet. So how, you know, more important can we stress that we got to take care of our feet and not neglect them? You know, so 1/4 of our injuries that we see, be it in football, is, you know, foot related.
So does that number translate? Because you deal with, you know, high-end, high-performance athletes, but you also, as you say, the weekend warrior. Is it the same number for both camps?
Yeah, because, you know, like your house, and I always going to bring this back up, is if you have a bad foundation, you know, a bad feet would relate to bad knees or, bad hips, bad low back. And we've all been through there, you know, been down that road, unfortunately, before. It's like, I got, you know, a sore heel. And next thing you know, your knee, your hips are kind of starting to get sore, your low back. So, you know, we want to bring awareness to how important that is and some tricks for your listeners to take home and hopefully regulate their issues.
So when you say 25% of the injuries you deal with are foot injuries, how much of that is preventable? How much of this are we talking about?
Lot are prevention. And, you know, that's one big thing we preach in the locker room is what we call prehab and prevention. And, of course, part of our job.
I like that word. Yeah.
Prehab. A part of our job as athletic therapists is, you know, preventing injuries. That's, you know, our main job. So a couple of things that we try to preach to the players is proper shoes. You know, proper shoes. You look at our players, they might go through 3-4 pairs of shoes a year, a season, you know, in a span of 5-6 months. And you talk about Nick Lewis, who's, you know, he loves his shoes. And
yes, he does.
And you have to change them. Just like a sports car, you have bad shoes, you have bad feet. Mm-hmm. Sports car has bad tires. You're not going anywhere. Your performance goes down. So this is talking about trying to bring everybody to the best of their performance, be it the weekend jogger or the pro athlete. So when you're shopping for shoes, running shoes, you don't and you shouldn't only buy the ones that look nice. You know, you need to buy the ones that are comfortable, and I can't say it anymore, that take your time when you're going to buy running shoes. You know, if it takes an hour, that's fine, but they got to make sure, you know, you have to make sure that they fit properly and they're comfortable. And, you know, you could always complement your shoes with the insoles, you know, and there's two kinds, you know, there's many types of insoles out there. Dr. Scholes makes this active series insole that are cool because they deal with the comfort and they deal with some of the pain issues that, you know, so common pain sites. So you could always complement your shoes with an insole of some sort, you know, and just to put it out there, you know, you should, they recommend that you change your running shoes every 500 to 700 kilometers.
Wow.
So, and it sounds like a lot.
Kind of like an oil change, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But we walk a lot in our daily life and, you know, it adds up quickly. It adds up quickly, you know, 500 to 700 K. This way, all the, you know, the gels in the shoe work properly, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that is a bit of a tidbit that we should look out for.
So when did this kind of become a thing? Like when did you kind of hone in on, hey, you know what, this is something that we really need to pinpoint. This is something we need to take seriously.
Yeah, it was towards the end of last season. We kind of.
Well, so this is rather new then. Okay.
Yeah, it's rather new. We just kind of sat down just before the winter and, like I said, in our private practice, who you know, all our doctors, team support and all there. And we said, you know, what's going on here? Let's try to prevent a lot of these injuries that are coming through our door, be it the Olympic Stadium or be it our clinic in Montreal. And so we developed some type of campaign here that, you know, and take home messages, you know, for example, you know, buying the right shoes. If you need an insole, get an insole and, you know, certain prevention. We talked about prevention. So some things that we could do is strengthening your foot. Yeah, your joints are only as strong as the muscles that cross the joint. So we got to examine the ankle. We got to examine all the bones in the, you know, in the foot. And there's certain easy things that you could do. You know, in studio here, I just have some basically therapy bands.
Yep.
And these are little muscles. You're not doing Olympic lifting here. It's just little, you know, certain motions of the foot, and we strengthen it, and we teach the players or we teach our patients how to do it. Take home message. It's all about that. And, you know, another thing to do is massaging your foot, you know, and there's a misconception. People always think, listen, I got to spend money and am I insured? All this kind of stuff. You don't need a lot of money. In fact, as you guys see here, this is just a hard piece of cardboard that's round and or a tennis ball, you know, and you put it down on the ground and you take your shoe off and you roll your foot on top of it. And that will act like a massage, you know. So these things are cheap, inexpensive, easy to travel. We always tell our players, you know, obviously ice is important in pro sports.
Sure.
Take a regular water bottle, 500 mils, empty a little bit and freeze it. And now you get your massager plus your ice application. So little tricks kind of like that, that you could take home and do it. And you don't have to be a pro athlete. Pro athletes do it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the weekend warrior, the runner runs and marathon runner, these are things that could be adapted to any lifestyle.
So, and I know you talked about it earlier, and the whole concept of, okay, well, you got to have a good foundation. Obviously, you're running and somebody hits you and you blow out your knee. Okay, well, maybe that you can't prevent that. But
right. But
how many things can be traced to? How many, whether repetitive stress or whether it just be injuries that we see? How much can be traced to
obviously, not
having good feet?
You know, it's hard to put a value, a number to it. But obviously, traumatic injuries, as you mentioned, you know, that happens. But in terms of, you know, your plantar fasciitis, your stress fractures, all these things are injuries that happen over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not so much traumatic. So, you know, all these little nagging injuries can be taken care of by a simple tennis ball, by a Dr. Scholl's insert, by a corn pad of some sort. And that's what we're about. That's what we want to take home and give to your listeners, is these things are available. You look in your basement, you probably have them.
I was going to say, you're not throwing out, like, you know, the elite stuff. You're not telling people to spend hundreds of dollars.
You walk in our therapy room at the Olympic Stadium, we got softballs, tennis balls, lacrosse balls. We got therapy bands. Obviously, we have some Dr. Scholl's inserts and some corn pads and et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
But these things are probably in your house right now.
So what, in terms of, like, results, have you been able to, because you said it's been fairly recent that this has kind of been a spearhead for you. So in terms of results, have you started to see it, or is it too early?
It's a bit early. We just started, as I said, about Christmas time. But, you know, in terms of applying it to our everyday practice and teaching the patients and the players, for sure that there's a benefit that everyone's benefiting from.
Mm-hmm.
With the players, we see it a bit more because we're on them 24/7.
Mm.
So we don't let it happen. We don't let these nagging injuries develop. We try to nip it in the bud, and early recognition is always important, especially with these tendonitises and plantar fasciitis, stress fractures, and so on and so forth. So, you know, that brings me to another point. Check your feet regularly. You know, inspect them. I mean, you don't have to spend a half an hour on it, but, you know, do you have any cuts, any bruising? Is there an ingrown toenail, corns? They're there for a reason. You know, is it rubbing on your shoe? Is your shoe too old? Are you starting, you know, your shoe's old, your support's not there, you're starting to walk a little differently now? So check your feet,
right?
You know, every day. You know, they're the first things that touch the ground every morning. Why wouldn't we? You know, you're talking 26 bones, 30, you know, 33 odd joints, hundreds of tendons and muscles. So, and I always relate it either to a house foundation or a racing car. I'm a NASCAR fan. So, you know, NASCAR with bad tires, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
This is to bring everyone to the best of their performance, not necessarily a professional performance, but to their performance. We want to achieve peak performance. And at our clinic in Montreal, that's what we try to do. We try to treat everyone like a pro. You know, it's a cliche, but we try to bring it home to them that, hey, you're a weekend warrior. You're important. You're an athlete in your own world. Let's take you to the best of your performance.
With Rodney Sassy, he's a head athletic therapist for the Montreal Alouettes, spearheading an awareness initiative related to foot health. I want to come back to the weekend warriors in a second, but I'm intrigued by football and the fact that you've been in it for 18 years. You've seen the different surfaces.
Yep.
Are we overall, with the kind of the field turf we have now universally, are we in a better place than we were in this league even 10 years ago when Edmonton had grass,
right,
and, you know, Toronto was Toronto? Are we in a better place from that standpoint?
Well, I mean, I don't study the fields per se, and I obviously don't work for the field companies, but I think overall in general, I would, based off my personal opinion, I would say, you know, probably are in a better place. You know, you look at some of the older stadiums before the renovations happened.
Yeah.
You're basically playing on carpet,
yeah,
you know, with a very small padding underneath. And, you know, not only it'll develop foot injuries, but obviously traumatic injuries were probably a bit higher back then if you probably look at the stats. But yeah, I would say overall we're probably in a better place.
Well, it's probably pretty dramatic where you work too, though, because you played regular season, you know, at the stadium, huh. And then you moved into the Big O for playoff games. That's a pretty dramatic shift.
Yeah, it is. And it's always tough for players to play on different surfaces. You talk about different kinds of shoes and changing your shoes regularly. You know, at the pro level football, you know, every surface has a different kind of cleat and a different kind of, and every position warrants a different kind of cleat because you're different weights, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So, if you're changing fields like us, you know, we're moving from the Big O to McGill and now we play most of our games at McGill. But yeah, whenever you're changing a field, it's always a question of footing. You know, I remember playing our 2002 Grey Cup in Edmonton.
Right.
And
that was a mess. They screwed up the field, didn't they?
The day before we all went out there, players went out there to see the footing, you know, because of the frozen tundra and it was grass back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about footing and, you know, we had to adapt our shoes. We put insoles, some had insoles, some didn't. Some wanted insoles for pain or for comfort. And you talk about taking care of their feet. We had to take care of their feet quite well that day.
I remember they either took the tarp off or they left the tarp on too much, and it was really icy.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of east-west.
Yeah,
it was all north-south, right?
There was a bit of an issue there, but we conquered that one.
I imagine Tom doesn't like to talk about that game too much, does he?
Sorry, Tom.
No, yeah. You know, it's funny, we kind of set it off that everybody's really talking about head injuries, and we've seen so much work done on helmets, and there's only so much they can do. But what about, you know, what for the professional athlete? How much work has been put into the cleats in the last couple of years? I mean, certainly companies like Under Armour are trying to get into the marketplace. They're trying to make headway. It's a very competitive market. Are they just, you warned us before about not getting necessarily the one that looks the best, but getting the best fit. Do you have that luxury working with pro athletes?
You know, obviously we have sponsorships, and I think it's Reebok now and, you know, whatever it is. And there was in the past, and the players always had an option to choose. You know, the team provides a certain number of shoes and the best to their ability, they try to pick, you know, X number of models they could service to the players. And obviously sometimes the players just doesn't fit right. And we would have to go outside that box and maybe go purchase at a store or order online type thing. But, you know, these guys are quite finicky, just like we are on our shoes. We don't want to walk around uncomfortable. And these guys want to perform or need to perform at the best of their ability. So having the right shoe and the right comfort level in their shoe is ideal.
It's funny because this message is probably like pro athletes. You have, you know, guys like you, head athletic therapists who you know are hammering on them. No, we're preventing. And they have that on a day-to-day basis. Whereas you use the term weekend warrior, like for the guy who goes running every day after work or wakes up and goes for a run at 6 a.m. or plays the ball hockey or the slow pitcher, whatever. I mean, this is maybe where it really needs to start to sink in. I don't think a lot of people would be necessarily aware of how important foot care would be.
Yeah, and that was part of this campaign, you know, and like you said, the pro athlete will be taken care of. But if we could send home a message to the weekend warrior, and we call them weekend warriors, I mean, whatever the non-pro athlete, you know, you could say, and is to, one, get your proper shoes, you know, complement your shoes with insoles, be it a Dr. Scholl insole, be it whatever model you want. To prevention, prehab, of course, is always important. So you strengthen, you massage. And three, you know, we talked about checking your feet regularly, you know, making sure that you don't have any cuts between your toes, underneath your heel. Where is the pain coming from? And that leads us to our fourth point is never ignore pain. Your body's, that's a signal for your body to say, well, stop for a quick second here.
Right.
What's going on? You know, do we need to put a padding? Do we need to change shoes? Do we need to adjust something else? And never ignore your pain. You know, it's very important.
See, if I can jump in here, because I fall into that category. I'd like to tell you that I run every day, but it's really kind of more of a shuffle. But
at least we're moving.
Yeah.
At least we're
what I struggle with is I look at what's being marketed now to the consumer. Light, you know, I they sucked me in about 3 years ago to the one with the toes.
The toe guy?
Yeah, I had those. Yeah. Oh no, that's natural. You know, it's more natural. really, from a health standpoint, for a 45-year-old guy that's, as I say, going to shuffle every night for, you know, 60 to 90 minutes, what's most important to me?
Well, I think, you know, we all have to understand, like I said before, we move a lot in a day. You know, would you guys have a guess on how many steps the average person takes in a day?
A guess, steps.
10,000?
12,000?
Yeah, about 10 grand.
Okay.
10K. So, you know, good guess.
Oh, no, he's very
student.
Do you have a Fitbit?
I don't have the Fitbit, but I know a lot of people who do have
Fitbit. And okay.
I took 14,000.
Yeah, so whatever step counter you have,
yeah,
you know, I like the one I have because it's a reminder of how either active I was in the day or how idle I was in the day. And
yeah,
get us moving. So getting back to your point, is when you're picking your shoes, make sure you pick the most comfortable ones. Don't go by the gimmicks. There's so many fads out there,
mm-hmm,
like you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go by the ones that you feel comfortable in and make sure you get the ones that will suit your needs. If you're going a street runner, you might migrate to another type of shoe versus a trail runner, you might migrate to another style of shoe. So,
right,
make sure they feel right. We do walk a lot during the day, so it's going to be important that when we put our shoes on, we feel comfortable. And as a result, we'll want to go out and do our exercise.
Give me a feel, because this is obviously something that's brand, or not brand new, but somewhat new for you. But just the whether we're talking about technology here or just, I guess this is kind of a really good example of how you've been an athletic therapist for 18 years. How philosophies, how the entire, it really does evolve.
Yeah,
time,
I mean, we've seen some changes, not only in the locker room, but obviously in mainstream market. And like you said, you know, the shiny shoes are going to sell, the bright colors, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and in the locker room too, to some degree, because the players want to look in style, right? And obviously these shoe companies know that. But at the end of the day, the styles have changed over time, and I think only to the better. You know, and we do have to watch out for gimmicks and for, mm-hmm, you know, quick sales here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing is, you know, stay with the big name companies. Obviously, they're doing something right. They've been around forever. And research your shoe. You know, every shoe has basically three different models. I mean, I'm not a shoe salesman by any means, but every shoe has different models depending on how you walk. So you're going to have, not to get into too many details, you're going to have one shoe that supports your shoe at a natural position.
Mm-hmm.
If you're what we call a supinator, then these are shoes that the same kind of, you know, same brand, but just different model that will correct your shoe, mm-hmm, if you're a supinator. If you're a pronator walker, then you got to go to another model. Same brand of shoe, but three different models. So if you walk into a store that doesn't ask you to walk or on a treadmill or up and down, that's what they're looking for. They're trying to evaluate your gait. Are you a supinator? Are you neutral? Are you a pronator? And then they're going to funnel you in the right direction. Because if you're a supinator buying a pronator model, not to throw out too much jargon, you're buying the wrong shoe.
I am so scared right now that I'm a supinator buying a pronator. Yeah, I really am.
It's so funny that you bring up those terms, because it's kind of right along. I remember being, and it's one of the, it's amazing to me that you say that, and I still remember this, going all the way back to grade 10 in sports med class.
Right.
The teacher is like, okay, pronate and supinate.
Right.
And the way he said it was like, you remember supinate like this, because you're carrying soup. And
there
then,
you
and,
go. Hey.
And I remember, because like some things in the athletic therapy community, they're always going to carry over. But
sure,
I got to imagine, like, for a guy who's been doing it for almost two decades in a professional manner, like, okay, yeah, there are some things like that always carry. But
yeah,
there's so much evolution at the same time. You kind of have to be making sure you're never being too stagnant, right?
No, that's in any profession, and especially in the health, you want to keep up with the ongoing changes of your profession. But a supinator is a supinator.
Yeah.
Now, how you're going to support a supinator might change. You know, so the shoes might develop in terms of different gels and different intensities and air cushions and stuff like that. But once you're a supinator, you're pretty much a supinator. That's how you were. So let's get the right shoe on your foot. Let's not force you into another style of shoe.
You stick around?
Sure.
Let's take a break. In conversation with Rodney Sassy, he's the head athletic therapist for the Montreal Alouettes. If it's cool, I'd like to come back and talk a little bit of football
sure.
and some of the trends, and certainly want to remind everybody. Now, I asked you off the air, but is there a place that people can go online? Is there some place where they can get more information on this topic?
I mean, there's really no website that we've put together. It's more the take-home messages: get your proper shoes, compliment them by an insole, and obviously prevention. Check your feet regularly. Never ignore your pain. I mean, some take-home stuff that you could do.
Are you or the practice on Twitter or something? Can people follow you?
We're not on social media.
We're
sorry
heading
about
in.
That.
No, it's all good. What we'll do is we'll record this
maybe
and we'll put it up on the
interview.
Web. Absolutely. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More with Rodney Sassy, the head athletic therapist for the Montreal Alouettes, here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's your game. It's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Coming in there, losing to them 2 years in a row, it kind of sizzles me wrong. So, we just got to make sure we go out there, play fast, play hard, play strong, play our game, make sure we come get a win at home.
Bo Levi Mitchell, he's ready. The Montreal Alouettes in town. Stamps would love to pay the Alouettes back for a week two loss in Montreal. Joining us, speaking of the Alouettes, their head athletic therapist, Rodney Sassy. He is right now spearheading an awareness initiative related to foot health. You're good enough, though, to kind of allow us to go in a different direction, which is just you spent 18 years in this game working with football players. How would you describe the last four or five? Because it seems like head injuries has really created a conversation about health and safety, and it seems like And this is from the outside, so I might be way off on this, Rodney, but it just seems like there's been probably a big shift here recently in terms of the way football is played and the things that we concern ourselves with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, head injuries are definitely in the media, and it's important to become aware of that and the results of head injuries. But, the league has done in my opinion, I can't comment for the league or for the team, but in terms of athletic therapy, athletic therapists, we all have protocols to follow. And if there is a head injury, I mean, these things are followed to the nines. And with our medical staff on each team, we're supported by them. And for sure, there's been a shift in terms of importance of head injuries and, rule changes, be it in this league or the NFL has adopted rule changes to try to decrease the number of head injuries.
Do you, as a group of therapists, do you have a role to play in that? Are you consulted? Are you asked about... because we've seen over the last number of years pretty consistent rule changes every year moving in that direction. Do you have a voice in that?
Yeah, I mean, us as a group, collectively, we could voice our opinions. Obviously, we meet every year and go over some of the hot topics and how can we get better. And we talked about improving our skill every year, in the last segment here. And that's one way how we do it. We meet as a group. Okay, what did we do wrong this year? How do we get better? And be it head injuries or taking care of our feet or equipment, we have equipment managers, but sometimes we need to put our thoughts on equipment too. We do that and we give them our opinion.
One of the things that I think sometimes we're guilty of in the media is we get caught up in the position of the injury, like, i.e., oh my gosh, we've had a run on quarterback injuries.
Right.
Is that fair? Are we having a run on quarterback injuries? Or are we having a run on specific injuries? I mean, over the last couple of years, and I don't have to tell you, you know better than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this year, quarterbacks is, could be a Montreal, Saskatchewan, or other teams out there that, their quarterbacks are getting hurt. But for sure, every injury is important and treat it with the most important. Obviously, these are players, but at the end of the day, more importantly, they're people that we have to take care of. In terms of running on injuries, I mean, the football's, and that's what I enjoy about football, and that's what I enjoy about my job. There's really no one injury or one style or group of injuries that we see. It's so vast,
right?
Be it from your feet to your head, it could be anything, and that's what I think the fun part about my job working with football.
So much of this year there's been a lot of talk about injuries. Is that something that you glom onto? Like, do you notice that? Do you start to say, okay, well, is there a reason for that? Or is it so random that you can't even really start to say, okay, well, there's a reason for this happening?
Yeah, I mean, not that I keep track of injuries around the league, and you know, it's hard to see what other teams are going through other than what I see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, we keep track. And is there a trend? You know, we try to figure it out. What's going on here? Are we dealing with all shoulder injuries? And what's the trend? If there is a trend, and it's so hard to get the trend because there's so many different variables that could be relating to these injuries. So, what we could do is try to prevent, you know, just like we talked about again in the last segment about our fees, like try mm-hmm. to prevent these injuries, be it strengthening mm-hmm. our joints, you know, and taking care of these guys the best we can.
Like, have there been trends in the past? Have there been ones that you said, okay, well, this was one and we were able to get on top of it?
Not really. I can't, my 18 years here, I can't say, listen, okay, we had an epidemic on knee injuries and this is what we're going to do to fix it. Obviously, football's a high-impact sport and trauma, you know, causes most of the injuries. So it's tough because either the guy got hit or he doesn't get hit,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that I haven't seen any trends, evident trends.
Right.
Out there in the past.
So when you're talking about prevention, you're not trying to prevent anyone. Like it's an all round.
It's an all round. Right? So yeah. I.e. prevent knee injuries. Okay, let's get you on a knee prevention injuries versus, we're going to try to prevent ACL injuries.
Right.
This is preventing knee injuries, just like we talked about preventing feet problems, strengthening your foot, rolling your foot out, never ignoring the pain. You know, and it could relate to obviously any joint, but. It's important to have a good base, and that's mm-hmm. prevention of your body. You know, we talked about the weekend warrior. We talked about the pro athlete now. You know, you have good feet. You have a good base. Your other parts of the body should follow along as you progress through your rehab, your prehab protocol.
Is that like, is that not even just the term, but the whole concept of prehab? Is that something that has, you know, you've been talking about for the entire stretch of your time as an
Yeah, I mean, our biggest job as athletic therapists is prevention because nobody wants
So 18 years ago, that still the same kind of thrust?
Yeah, back at Concordia University in Montreal, that's what was it about. Obviously, we learned how to deal with injuries because they're going to happen, unfortunately. But our biggest thing is nobody wants to see anybody get injured. So how do we prevent it? You know, so that is a major, major part of our job.
So how have the theories or the ways to do that, how have they evolved?
Oh, huge, huge, years? Of yeah. course. I mean, like anything, everything gets better, how to deal with soft tissue injuries, you know, going on how to deal with a broken bone. So, you know, some science shows the other, you know, different aspects to that. So things have evolved and fortunately our doctors are on top of things and they educate us and we educate them and it's a team atmosphere and we learn from each other.
Rodney Sassy is the head athletic therapist for the Montreal Alouettes in studio with us here today. I might be treading on state secret grounds. Now I got to ask, he's been retired for a couple of years. What quality, what trait did AC have, Anthony Calvillo have, that allowed him to play as long as he did, as effectively as he did from your perspective?
I mean this guy obviously was a Hall of Famer and will be a Hall of Famer one day, I hope. But, you know, I think his biggest thing was prevention was a big thing and dedicating himself to the game. I can't talk for him. Obviously, we've worked together for many, many years.
Yeah.
In fact, we came to the Alouettes the same year, 1998.
Oh,
so
really?
It was a good year that year.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And Ben Cahoon. But, I mean, that was a good crop. But, you know, dedicating your body to the game, either him or – and you see it across the league, you know, all these players in any sport that have played many, many years – you have to dedicate your body to the game, and in terms of you got to take care of your body day in and day out. Be it the ice tub, be it the stretching, the strengthening, the prehab. You know, these are things you need to do. I mean, that guy was always the first in, last out. I mean, there was nothing bad to say about that guy. That's for sure. He had great work ethic. You know, and any athlete I think that lasts that long, they probably have very similar qualities.
But there's such an extreme in football, isn't there? Because the typical lifespan of a professional football player is rather short because of it being a collision sport.
Right.
Yet, you mentioned Cahoon. Cahoon played a long time.
Yeah.
AC's played a long time.
Yeah.
Nick, while not in typical top physical shape.
Perfect shape.
Right. he's perfectly shaped. There's no doubt about it. But he's got longevity, and it happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, here's a guy that I've come to know who he is this year only.
Hard not to.
Yeah, great guy, and you know, again, first in, last out, in the ice tub, stretching, taking care of his feet, taking care of his body. That's why he's around this long. I mean, that's how these guys last, you know.
Got to be around Pat Clayton here in Calgary. And, yeah, and the Thumbs Cup. I mean, hard to find a better man than Pat.
Great guy.
But one of the things that I don't think people appreciate, and it came up again yesterday in a conversation we had with an NHL referee, Pat, although working for the Stampeders, took care of professional wrestlers, took care of hockey players, took care of rodeo athletes. What about you, Rodney? I mean, Montreal, there's UFC, there's lots of hockey.
I haven't had the opportunity yet to venture too much outside football. Okay. Like I said off air, I helped out with the Jays coming in town and stuff like that. Obviously, at the local level, grassroots, I got three kids, three boys, so they're all playing sports. So, you know, we're always helping out there. But in terms of at the Pat Clayton level, I haven't reached that level yet.
I wondered if you made your way over to the Rogers Cup every year and helped out with tennis.
Yeah, no, you know, they come in with their own crew, and you know, with our private practice, doctors in the city, you know, we share doctors with the Canadians and the Impact and Cirque Soleil and.
I forgot about Cirque too, right? Cirque. You have to treat them like athletes, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, they're. For sure. So, I mean, they all have...
Their limbs aren't quite as normal as
ours. Yeah, they got a flexibility program that's off the chart. Yeah. But, you know, we get to be around other teams, but obviously they have their people.
Sure.
And we try to help each other. We're, you know, obviously we're a small community.
Yeah.
And we try to help out each other.
I just wondered if you had a couple come through the door every once in a while, you know, a little bit unique.
Pat Clayton special.
Yeah.
Take me, you know, talking about McMahon Stadium. We're not that far removed from a couple back-to-back Grey Cups for Montreal. Take me back to the first one, kind of the exercising of the demons. I remember exactly where I was.
You were
in the car. We were
on the car because we could not stomach the thought
Which
of the riders.
Would that be?
The riders winning.
I was on the sidelines when it happened at McMahon Stadium. It was still one of my greatest sporting memories ever. Tell me about how you experienced.
Obviously,
the whole
that game's going to go down in history forever.
And sure,
I'm so happy I'm a part of those back to back ones. And fortunately, we're on the winning side. Yeah, I mean, geez, zero. I mean, like I tell everybody, you know, there's pictures out there with the riders winning with zero time on the clock. And then there's pictures with us winning on the scoreboard with zero time on the clock. And only in the CFL you're ever going to get those two pictures in the same game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you talk about an emotional roller coaster going from the lowest to the highest in a matter of, you know, 1 minute. But what can I say? I mean, it was exciting to be there. And I was on the sideline. You know, everyone's taking a knee. And the first one misses, obviously. So we're all kind of upset, to say the least, and we see the flag go up, and then okay, let's get back.
Yeah,
but
who
knee.
Saw the flag go up? Because
Did
I'm
you
sure
see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay,
I didn't see the flag go up because I wasn't looking there at the time until I think one of our assistant equipment guys said, "No, we got to get back down. We got to get back down. They're gonna hit the ball again." I'm like, "What are you talking about? There was a flag on the play."
Oh wow!
So I'm like, "Wow, okay, I'll get back down."
That had to feel like destiny.
Yeah, I mean, that was just an emotional roller coaster. I mean, and then you know, obviously the kid goes through. And
did you know that? Like, did you know after? Because Duvall misses once.
Yeah, you're not
you
missing twice
sure
in a row.
Twice?
You're not missing twice in a row. You're not missing twice in a row, especially with you know, you're closer to the goalpost now. So just thank God it went through, and we ended up on the winning side here. Sorry for Ivan, the trainer on the other side, but
that whole game though, like it was like. Saskatchewan completely controls the first half, and I remember like he's like, okay, AC's gonna need to conjure up some magic here in the set, and he did. Like it was, I think it was three consecutive drives where it was just like pinpoint.
Yeah.
So at what point did you think, okay, well maybe this thing, maybe we do have a shot here?
You know, that's the funnest thing about being part of football. You know, every position, there's so many guys on the field, and everyone is so important. You know. You talk about a guy, maybe that's a backup that on a short punt hits the ball out of bounds in front of our bench. And I didn't realize how close that was until I watched the game again. And I'm like, wow, we could have lost it right there. If it wasn't for that guy, you know, jumping 4 yards and swatting the ball out. So, I mean, every person is so important. It's yeah. And those games, as you guys know, go so fast. You know, it's like you start the game, next thing you know, you're at halftime, and next thing you know, you're at the 3 minute, you know, a timeout. So, you know, for sure, when we came out after the half and we started putting things together, I mean, it was exciting to watch and be part of.
The what was the feel like? Because I mean, I got to go in the locker room, but that's what the media sees. But man, it was since 2002, and everybody's like, "Oh, yeah. They're never gonna win again." And then you did, and it was like that.
Yeah, just it was unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. The locker room was just going nuts. I mean, obviously the low to the high, and people just, even us, we couldn't believe it at first, because, like, you know, that was my second Grey Cup, and after you win, it's like, is that it? Like, we just won here. They can never change that.
Yeah.
They can never change it. And now this is going to be like the best game ever in the universe, you know? Like, so the locker room was just in an uproar. I mean, it was so fun to be part of. And, you know, the great part about the Grey Cups is, you know, our families are with us, and we get to enjoy it with them. And obviously we don't see them a lot during the season because of our schedules, yeah. But they're all there, you know, coaches-wise are there, players-wise. I mean, just the families are all together. And
yeah,
finally, you know, the goal has been attained.
Next year in Edmonton wasn't too bad either, hey?
Next year in Edmonton was awesome. I mean, to be part of a back-to-back, I mean, there's not too many people that are part of that. You know, obviously Edmonton's had their great runs, but recently, anyway, Toronto and us, I guess. But I mean, to be part of that again, you can't take that away. That's a time capsule, you know, and that's, it's great to be part of it.
And back to back, and you won twice at Commonwealth too, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. So
all the Grey Cups are won here.
I've had, we lost to 2000, but
You figured it out.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Rodney Sassy from the Montreal Alouettes, head athletic trainer or therapist, is our guest. Now, I want to get back to the real reason you're here. You're spearheading an awareness initiative related to foot health. We talked about football players, but you're aiming it at guys like me, guys like Pat. One of the things, and I wanted to ask you about this, and I'm glad you're here, because you brought in the Dr. Scholes.
Yeah.
And I guess I got brought up, oh, no, you got to go see an orthopedist, and they got to make it and custom make it, and, you know, you get the inserts. And now, you know, those types of inserts, those sports inserts, are so available. They're so out there. But I always wondered if they were valuable. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, you talk, you know, throughout this whole program here, we talked about evolving and learning new techniques and tools and stuff. And, you know, Dr. Scholes have evolved. These over-the-counter insoles have evolved. Are they custom to your foot? No. Do they still do custom-made ones? Yeah, clinics do. My clinic at home does.
Sure.
But we could start with a Dr. Scholes insert. And, you know, now this one is the active series. There's other ones with, you know, gel massaging techniques, and, you know, ones for heel pain and ones for arch pain. So they're really evolved, and they're trying to target those injuries, plantar fasciitis. So it would be a good starting point, mm-hmm. you know, to get an over-the-counter Dr. Scholes insert or whatever company you want to go with and start there. Does that help you relieve your plantar fasciitis? Along with the prehab, the massaging, the ice bottle trick, you know, in the freezer,
right.
the strengthening. And I think it's more of a combination of things that will alleviate the pain and get you back on your track.
One of the things you talked about earlier on was kind of preparing your foot or massaging your foot. Is that kind of just incorporating that into your warm-up or making sure that is part of your warm-up?
Yeah, well, make sure it is part of your warm-up. So, you know, 5 to 15 minutes prior to your run, mm-hmm. we'll take running as an example.
Yep.
You need a warm-up, you know, and be it massaging your feet, getting all the muscles underneath your foot ready to go. I mean, if you're going on a 10K run, that's a good distance, you know, 5K, whatever number of kilometers you're running. I mean, your arch takes up to, you know, 4 times your body weight. So you talk about an O-lineman or mm-hmm. 300 pounds, you're looking at, you know, 1,000, you know, yeah. pounds or more, or a bit less, depending on what your weight is. So you talk about the pressures on your feet. You know, you go from sitting down to running a 5K. I mean, your feet are not going to be happy with you at the end of the day. I mean, these things are going to be screaming. So introduce them to the activity. Think of that. You know, introduce them. That's your warm-up. Do a little strengthening technique, massage. You would an ice massage before your event. You would do it afterwards. But in terms of a tennis ball, you would do that. And stretching your toes out, different techniques you could use. And then slipping your feet into a nice, comfortable pair of running shoes, even if you have the insoles or not, then we go for our activity.
I think this is awesome. I really want to thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Again, you know, somebody's listening or picked it up in the middle of the conversation and go, okay, well, is it a book? Are we talking about a website? You're just doing this because this is what you do for a living and you feel like we need to get that message out there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no hidden agenda here. This is a pure, take-home message. And if you are a pro athlete,
yeah,
if you are a so-called weekend warrior or even, just walking, running, the occasional soccer, whatever, I would like to send home, take-home messages. One, get your proper shoes, compliment them with some insoles. We talked about Dr. Scholl's as an example, mm-hmm. pain or comfort type insoles. Two, prevention. We talked about prehab, strengthening, massaging, icing your foot after your activity. Three, check your feet regularly. Don't ignore them. There's a lot of joints there. There's a lot of muscles. They're the first thing that touch the ground every day. And lastly, never ignore foot pain. Treat it importantly, treat it seriously every time. Try to alleviate the pain yourself. If you can't, then we would have to funnel you to your local therapist or a doctor.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It was fun.
I really appreciate
this.
We wish you the best of luck with your practice.
Thank you. We wish
you the best of luck with the Alouettes beginning on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
You got that, did you? Yeah. There you go. You've had too much success in Alberta already. But this is great. We'll take a break when we come back. We still got Rash Madani this afternoon. We got some baseball to cover. A lot to do this afternoon. Thanks to our guest, Rodney Sassy, the head athletic therapist for the Montreal Alouettes. We'll be back with more Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is proud to talk Calgary sports all summer long. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by Comedy Cave. If it's comedy you crave, come to The Cave. Tickets are always $10. Comedy's so good you'll whip out your funny bone. Go to comedycave.com.